This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillah. So at this point, we are mentioning the intercession of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, who is interceding on behalf of mankind so that the reckoning will begin. And there's an interesting hadith of I mention it because I think it's important here for us to equate this intercession with al-maqam al-mahmud, the praiseworthy station that is given to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not given to any of the other prophets. Jazakallahu khair. Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, he says, إِنَّ النَّاسَ يَصِيرُونَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ جُثَى, that people will come on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ جُثَى, they on their knees. And that corresponds with a surah in the Quran named after this particular incident. I know it. جاثية. وَتَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةٍ, you will see every ummah on his knees. كُلُّ أُمَّةٍ تُدَعَى إِلَى كِتَابِهَا الْيَوْمِ, on this day, every ummah will be called to its kitab. And that has two explanations, both of which could be true. One meaning is the kitab here means the sharia of their prophet. Each ummah will be called to follow to account based on the legislation that was given to their prophet. And you'll see them on their knees out of fear. تَرَى كُلَّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةٍ. نعم. الْيَوْمَ تُجَزَوْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ, on this day. The second one, as Sa'di mentioned, is إِلَى كِتَابِ أَعْمَالِهِمْ, that they will be called to the book of their deeds. Every ummah and every person will be called to account for the book of their own deeds. And both of them are correct, inshallah. طيب. So Ibn Umar goes on to say that they will come on يوم القيامة on their knees. كل أمة تتبع نبيها, every ummah will follow its prophet. يقولون يا فلان اشفع, they will say, oh so and so, يعني from their prophets, intercede on our behalf, intercede so that the reckoning can begin. حتى تنتهي الشفاعة إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, فذلك يوم يبعثه Allahu al-maqam al-mahmud. So this is the day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise the Prophet to the praiseworthy station. Al-maqam al-mahmud. طيب. So the maqam al-mahmud at the end of the day, and there again is several interpretations, but all of them deal with the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, either on behalf of mankind as a whole, or on behalf of the believers to enter Jannah, because sometimes that is also called the Maqam al-Mahmud. There are several things that we would have to work through, and it would take us quite a bit of time. But the point is that it all goes back to the supreme intercession, this Shafa'a al-Uthma. Now, intercession in the hereafter is of two types. That which is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that which is general, that is for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Those that are specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we'll just go through these very quickly. is this supreme intercession, which for our purposes is the interceding for the wait to stop, for the standing, the wait and that standing to stop, and for the reckoning to begin. All right? And that's specific, that nobody else has that. Also, the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for some of his ummah to enter Jannah without hisab, without reckoning. And what is apparent is that's specific to this particular ummah, that some of this ummah will enter Jannah without hisab wala sabiqat adab, and without being held to account, without being punished at all. They won't even stand for the reckoning at all. There's no reckoning. Straight from the mahshar, straight into Jannah. Tayyib. Also, there's the interceding, the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the gates of Jannah to open once the believers are waiting at the gates of Jannah, once they've crossed the Sirat and they're at the Qantara. And that we're going to deal with 2 weeks from now, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay? Tayyib. And then there's a fourth intercession that is specific to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and it was for one of his family members. Do you know who that was? His uncle, Abu Talib. And that was to lessen his punishment, not for him to go to Jannah, because there's a key that you need to go to Jannah, and that key is La ilaha illallah. And his uncle did not have that. His uncle didn't have the key, so he can't go. But so that his punishment is lightened, and that he will be the one who has the least punishment on Yawm al-Qiyamah, he will be given sandals of fire. The heat is so intense that it will boil his brain. Wallahu al-musta'an. Nasallahu al-afiyah. Tayyib. There are other types of intercession that are afforded to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and other than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. For example, there's the shafa'ah for the people who have committed major sins and who are punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the fire to come out of the fire. And again, we'll cover that inshallah ta'ala in the last class, 2 weeks from now, bidnillah. Like, we'll cover the ahadith that deal with that particular topic. Because all of this, again, all of this has to be based on evidence. You can't make this stuff up. This is about the unseen, and you need clear evidence for everything that you're talking about. Likewise, to raise the ranks of some people in paradise above the levels that their actions may have dictated. So, according to their actions, they may be on a certain level. The Prophet ﷺ and some others will intercede so that their levels will be raised. There's the intercession for some who would have deserved to go to the hellfire, and they'll be prevented based on intercession. And what does intercession mean? So it is for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or other than him to ask Allah for some benefit for his creation. Okay? And I mean, there's a very quick definition that they say in Arabic, which is talabul khayri lil ghayr, right? Which is seeking good for others. The longer definition is, it is the request of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or other than him for some benefit for the creation.
When you say other than him,
yani that not all intercession is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. That's all. Tayyib. Now let's get to a point here then before we talk about the reckoning itself. Here we learn that the Prophet ﷺ will intercede on behalf of some of the Muslims. How do we become amongst those who the Prophet ﷺ would intercede on our behalf? And why is that even important? I'm asking. Go ahead, Shaykh. First question, why is it important for the Prophet ﷺ to intercede? Why would we even care?
No one enters paradise on the basis of their deeds.
All right, but they don't enter. Tell you, they don't enter paradise on the basis of their deeds. True. Sorry. So look, I'm not talking about the general. So the Prophet ﷺ is going to intercede on behalf of mankind so that the reckoning begins. He's going to intercede on behalf of all of the believers so that the gates of Jannah are open. That's not specific for you or me.
His intercession is accepted by Allah.
His intercession is definitely accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes.
To be closer to
the Prophet ﷺ. But also, if we look at all of these events that are happening on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you have your deeds, which are going to, if your deeds are good, then it's going to make life a lot easier for you in the hereafter. And as we'll see when we start talking about the reckoning and so forth, it's going to make things a lot easier for you. But even with that, as followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the fact that we know what his status is, we're going to want someone else also to argue on our behalf, if you will, to ask on our behalf. The same way that you would want in this dunya, the same way you would want an attorney if you go to court, right? Even a lawyer, and we have some lawyers in here, right? We know that even a lawyer wants what in court? A lawyer. Nah. When you represent, they say the one who represents himself is a fool, right? Even if he's an attorney. Now, that doesn't mean the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is arguing on your behalf, because that's not every person has to stand and for their own account. But if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, let's look at a person, for example, who, yani, based on his deeds, his bad deeds outweighed his good deeds. So he deserves to go to the fire. But the Prophet ﷺ intercedes on his behalf because of other things that he did. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him in paradise and saves him from the punishment of the fire. And that's not just specific to the Prophet ﷺ, but he's obviously the best of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation. In fact, martyrs will be able to intercede for 70 of their family members. It comes in an authentic hadith. A person whose children, who has two children who died before him, those children will serve as a shield and they will intercede on his behalf. And there's several other types of intercession, right? But the point is to have the Prophet ﷺ intercede. There's no other creation that was better than the Prophet ﷺ. And if it wasn't something that we should strive for, then the companions wouldn't have asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about that. And so Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Man as'adu an-nasi bi shafa'atik yawm al-qiyamah?" He asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Who is the one who will be most happy with your shafa'ah, and most likely to get your shafa'ah on yawm al-qiyamah?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, he said, "لقد ظننت يا أبا هريرة أن لا يسألني عن هذا الحديث أحد أول منك." I thought, oh Abu Huraira, that no one would ask me about this hadith before you. He said, "لما رأيت من حرصك على الحديث." From what I've seen from you and your concern for the hadith, you want to know what I'm saying. You want to know these ahadith. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "As'adu nasi bi shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah man qala لا إله إلا الله what? خالصا من قلبه. He said, the person who is most happy and most likely to have my shafa'ah on the Day of Judgment is the one who says La ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart. Sincerely from his heart. And so here, what we see is that even when we want the shafa'ah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, our heart is not attached to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. He's telling us, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that if you want my shafa'ah, make sure your heart is attached only to Rabbul Alameen and not to his prophet. Your heart is for Allah. And this is why من أعظم فضائل التوحيد أنه يحرر العبد من رق المخلوقين والتعلق بهم ورجائهم وخوفهم والعمل لأجلهم. And that is why from the greatest benefits of tawheed, this khalis min qalbihi, sincerity from the heart, that you are singling out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as your object of devotion, divine devotion, that He is the only one that you worship. From the greatest, and see here, don't look at this singling out Allah as your object of devotion. Don't look at that. Don't forget what they would call subtle idolatry. Don't just look at, oh, I'm not prostrating to anything else. Where your heart is very important. Because if it's not attached solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you really don't have tawheed. And so from the greatest virtues of tawheed is that it frees. It frees a person from bondage to the creation and being attached to the creation and putting your hope and dreams in the creation and fearing the creation and working for their behalf. In other words, you doing what you're doing to be, you're a people pleaser. And people pleasing is a form of idolatry. وَذَٰلِكَ الشَّرَفُ الْعَلِيِّ. And that is the real nobility. Is that a person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that in a way that they love nothing else. Their hope is with Him. Their fear is of Him. Their reliance is upon Him. And they do what they do for Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who says La ilaha illallah sincerely from his heart, then this is their approach to life. And they will be the ones who receive the shafa'ah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And even if, and that shafa'ah may come on different levels. That shafa'ah may be that their actions only got them to a certain level. And then they're raised. Nah. Likewise, as Sheikh Aqil mentioned, the hadith, and there are several narrations of this hadith or several companions that narrate this hadith. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, من قال حين يسمع النداء اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمد الوصيلة والفضيلة وابعث مقام محمود الذي وعدت حلت له شفاعتي يوم القيامة. And this is the narration is in Bukhari. It's a different narration in Muslim, but it's very similar. This hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says after hearing the adhan, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma, O Allah, Lord of this complete and perfect call, wa salat al-qa'ima, and the prayer that is going to be established, ati Muhammadin al-wasilata wal-fadila. Give Muhammad the wasila, which is the highest station in Jannah. As the Prophet ﷺ mentioned another narration of this hadith, which only is suitable for one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants out of all of his creation. Give the Prophet Muhammad the wasila wal fadila, virtue, and wab'athu maqaman mahmudan, and raise him to that great station that you have promised him. Asa an yab'athaka rabbuka maqaman mahmuda wa min al-layli fatahajjad bihi nafilatan lak. And at night, pray tahajjud, which is the prayer that is prayed after you go to sleep and before fajr. فَتَهَجَّدَ بِهِ نَافِلَةً لَكَ. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise you
that maqam and mahmuda, that praiseworthy station. And so that is a, also for us, we'll never reach the maqam and mahmud, because that's for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But if we want to be people who are honored, then we should have a portion of the night that we dedicate to the prayer, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. So these two things, I mean, there are many, many other things that will, dying in Medina, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about, whoever lives in Medina is patient with its la'wa, with its trials, with its tribulations, with its difficulties, and dies therein. Halat lahu shafa'ati yawm al-qiyamah, then my shafa'ah will be for him on the day of judgment. And there are other things, but point is, if we take these two, which is to be people of tawheed, to say la ilaha illallah sincerely from our hearts, and to implement that in our lives, and also to say that dua after the adhan, which means we have to be placed where the adhan is called. And it's not the adhan that's coming off your phone. It's the adhan that's being called at the masjid. You hear it and you say, Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tammati was-salati al-qa'imah, ati Muhammadin al-wasilata wal-fadila, wab'athu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'ad. Nah. Tayyib. So at this point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin the reckoning. And before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to Ard al-Mahshar, and you'll remember when we talked about the land of gathering, that it's the earth, but it's been changed. And some of the scholars have mentioned that from the hikmah here of it changing is that this place is the place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges, and His judgment is just. And so there needs to be, and there should be, a land in which no injustice has been committed. No blood has been spilt. No money has been taken. This land is totally changed now. And it becomes the court, if you will. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the judge, and everyone will stand in front of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, before this happens, the books are distributed. The books are distributed. And I, you know, subhanAllah, this is one of the better researches on this particular topic. It's called Al-Hisab Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and it was printed from Umm Al-Qura. You remember that, Sheikh? MashaAllah. I bring this up, man, because this might have been $2 or $3. Sheikh Hanif gave me this several years ago. And sometimes, and I'm only mentioning that because I benefited from this research so much, and some of what I'm teaching you all today, I was enlightened by what came in this particular book. And inshallah, I mean, that's something that we never realize, that you may do a small thing, and on Yawm al-Qiyamah, you find it something large. So you spend $2 or $3, you give somebody a book, and they benefit from it, and they teach other people from it, and maybe other people learn from it, and you're the cause of that. And it was something very small, something that didn't cost you a whole lot. It was just a thought, and say, hey, this person may benefit from that. And so you never know. Sometimes you may plant a seed in somebody's mind, and 2 years later, they take Shahada. And you don't even know about it. You don't even know about it. But it was something that you said to them 2 years prior that put them on that path of searching. So never belittle those small deeds, you know, planting the seeds where you can. And sincerity, with sincerity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow your deeds to grow. You know, on this particular topic, we talked about the shafa'ah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam for those, and there will be those who enter Jannah without any hisab, right? Do you know who they are? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, Huma ladina la yastarkun wala يتطيرون ولا يكتوون وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are those who do not seek ruqya. Not that they don't perform ruqya on themselves or maybe on their family members, but they don't go around saying, hey, do you do ruqya? I want you to do ruqya on me. And they don't yatatayyarun. Do you know what a tatayyur is?
Omens from birds.
But really, a tatayyur, yeah, has come to mean omens in general, which the tatayyur, because the Arabs a lot of times would look at the birds themselves. So they would, if they wanted to do something, say they were going to travel, they would look up, and if the birds came a certain way, then they would, they say, no, we're not traveling today. If the birds were traveling another way, they would say, yes, we're going to keep going. So they were looking for signs from things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make as signs. Okay? So omen seeking, because here again, okay, we'll talk about why. And then, wala yaktawun. And what is yaktawun? They don't brand them. You know branding? Like with the iron? Cauterized, that's it. And there's several reasons for this. Part of it is because there was superstition that was related to cauterizing during the time of the Prophet alayhi salat was saying. If you look at the three, there's a common thread, which is that a person has a deficiency in their tawakkul, their reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said at the end, and again we have that shared quality, وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, but their reliance is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are 70,000 from my ummah who will enter Jannah without hisab, without any reckoning. And they are those who do not do A, B, C, and D. وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. There's another narration of this hadith, and it's not the only one. And Abu Humama radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ صَلَى يَقُولُ وَعَدَنِي رَبِّي أَنْ يُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِي 70 أَلْفًا لَا حِسَابَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا عَدَابٍ. My Lord has promised me that He will enter into paradise from my ummah 70,000 without punishment and without reckoning or punishment. مَعَ كُلِّ أَلْفٍ 70 أَلْفًا, with each thousand of those 70,000, they will have 70,000 more with them. Yani the point is that there will be more than 70,000 who enter without hisab wala adab. Nasa Allah azza wa jalla yaj'alana minhum. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst them. Tayyib. So on this day, at this particular time, after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam does shafa'ah, the books will be distributed. And these books are real. They're real physical scrolls, which will be weighed, as we'll talk about, inshallah, when we get to the mizan. Allah Azza wa Jal says in the Quran, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِيهِ ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا. And this, which I'm sure many of you read often, because this is Surah Al-Kahf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and the record of their deeds, that book of their deeds, will be laid open, and you will see the mujrimeen, the criminals, the guilty, the wrongdoers, mushfiqina mimma fi, they are going to be in agony of what are in those books. What did you say?
Agitation.
Yeah, they will have anxiety. That's probably the better word. About what's in those books. And they will say, Ya waylatana, woe to us. What is this book that hasn't left anything, small or large, except that it has accounted for it, enumerated it, and they will find everything that they did laid in front of them. And your Lord does not, he is not unjust to anyone. He does not do injustice to anyone. And so it is called here, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ. It's a book. It's a real book. All right? And there are several other ayat in the Quran. وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ. And for each person, we have fastened the ta'ir, which has different interpretations, but one of them is the book of their deeds. It's fastened to their necks. Their deeds are right here. The scholars of Tafsir said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the neck is because that's what goes with you no matter what. Like you might lose a limb, but whatever is here on your neck, fastened to your neck, that's where you go. You put a collar around the what? The neck. You don't put a collar on the anywhere else. Tail. Somebody cut the tail off and keep going. Somebody cut the neck off, it doesn't exist anymore. So, كل إنسان ألزمناه طائره في عنقه ونخرج له يوم القيامة كتابا يلقاه منشورا. And we will bring out the book on يوم القيامة. He will find it open in front of him. يلقاه منشورا. اقرأ كتابك. Read your book. This is before the hisab. Before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to judge you, he's going to let you read your own book of deeds. And you got plenty of time. Yawm al-qiyamah. Iqra kitabak. Read your book. Kafa bi nafsika al-yawma alayka hasiba. Look at that. You today are sufficient to take account of yourself. Al-hisab, hasib, right? In fact, in this al-hisab, it comes from to count. So it's like counting up those deeds and then separating them into good and bad, if you will. That's the hisab, which is different from the jazat, which is to be rewarded for what you've done. Okay, just so that we understand the terminology here. Iqra kitabak. Read your book. That's what is going to be said. This is before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to judge. اقرأ كتابك كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا. You are sufficient yourself to take account of yourself, to count your own deeds. Okay? So these deeds have been recorded by who? Sorry? By the angels. And there's a lot of evidence for that. Some of the clearest evidence is in Surah Qaf. إِذْ يَتَلَقَّ الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ قَعِيدِ. Which means, what's that mean? Tayyip, before that. When they will be received, if you will, إِذْ يَتَلَقَّى الْمُتَلَقِّيَانِ, the two receivers, one on the right and another on the left, قَعِيد, sitting. Now, what we should not do is try to imagine like a little angel sitting here and a little angel sitting here, because that's not what the ayah says. And there's no text for that. And we only know about the unseen what we're told. We know that there's an angel on the right and an angel on the left. The one that is on the right records your good deeds. And the one on the left records your evil deeds. And there are several hadith that are indicative of that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And people will receive their books, some in their right hands, and some in their left hands. Some from behind their backs in their left hands. And so there's actually a difference of opinion amongst the scholars, but the reality is very clear about those who will receive their books in their right hands. And they will be those who will have an easy reckoning, and we'll get to them. So just keep that in mind. Who receives the books in their right hand? Those who will have an easy reckoning. Okay. Those who receive it in their left hands. They are said, it is some, one opinion, is that both the fusaq from the Muslims, those who are wrongdoers, but they're Muslims, and those who are non-Muslims will receive it in their left hands. But the believers that are wrongdoers will receive it in their left hand in the front, and the disbelievers will receive it in their left hands from the back, maybe like this, maybe like that, maybe through their bodies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. All right? And so, if you want, you can go back two main places in the Quran which address the receiving of the books in the right and the left hands. One is in Surah Al-Haqqatu Mal-Haqqah from the 18th to the 20, maybe, no, more than that. Anyway, starting from the 18th ayah, I believe. Salaam alaikum. And the other is in Al-Inshiqaq. I think this battery might be dying, Sheikh. Jazakallah khair. And the other is in Al-Inshiqaq, which is the 84th chapter of the Quran, from the 7th ayah. So you can go back and look at that, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Al-Haqqa. Al-Haqqa is the 68th after Mulk, starting from the 18th ayah. 68 is Qalam, 69 is Al-Haqqa. Jazakallah khair. Tayyib. So, after a person reads his or her own book, they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without an interpreter. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that each one of you will stand before Allah. So yukallimuhu rabbuhu, his Lord will speak to him. Laysa baynahu wa baynahu tarjuman. There will not be an interpreter between him and him. There's not going to be any interpreter between the slave and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He looks to his right and he will only see what he put forth. He looks to his left and he will only see what he put forth of deeds. He looks in front of him and he will see the fire. فَاتَّقُوا النَّارِ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةِ. So save yourself from the fire, even if it is with a half a date. Inshallah, we'll talk about it in a minute, bi-idhnillah. So the point is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what will happen on that day. And he says, وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. And your Lord will come for that purpose of judgment, and the angels will be in rows, row by row. Now, again, what we cannot do is say, wait a minute, how does Allah come? Allah. As we studied, when we study the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like anything in His creation. And therefore, we cannot know how. We cannot know how. But what we also cannot do is negate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirmed for Himself. So Allah said that He comes. We can't come now and we say, well, what that means is that His command comes. يَأْتِي أَمْرُ اللَّهِ. Or that this comes, or that. Allah, this is what Allah said about Himself. وَجَاءَ رَبُّكَ وَالْمَلَكُ صَفًّا صَفًّا. And Allah comes, your Lord comes. How that happens, we don't know. And that's okay that we don't know. But what we do know is that Allah will come, and He will be the judge. He's not appointing anybody else to be the judge on that day. And there are obviously some who will get their books and they will not have any reckoning whatsoever. Okay? Those are the ones who won't face any hesab. And then there are those who have got taken their books in their right hands, and they will have an easy account. They will have an easy account. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man husiba faqad udhib." The one who is taken to account will be punished. So Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and I want you to look at the fiqh of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. She said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "But didn't Allah say in the Quran, 'وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا'? The one who was given his book in the right hand, that he will have an easy account. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? Whoever is held to account will be punished. She said, "Wait a minute. No, but this is deep, and I want you to look at this, and we'll cover this at other places, other mawaqif, inshallah, when we look at the qiyamah. Where the Sahaba, they asked the Prophet ﷺ about things that they didn't really understand, and then there were other things that they understood. Like we get it. Do we fully comprehend it? No, but we get it. So, for example, Aisha herself, radiallahu ta'ala anha, she asked the Prophet ﷺ another question that we talked about in the last class about Yawm al-Qiyamah. What was that? People looking at each other. Because the Prophet ﷺ said that people will be raised barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised. She said, where? At the Hashr. When they're gathered, when they're raised and gathered. And she said, wait a minute, the men and the women together, they're going to be looking at each other? And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-amru a'zamu min dhalik, aw ashaddu min dhalik." And it's way more severe than that. Nobody is worried about looking at anybody else. It's not that kind of time. So the reality is what we see, and you'll see that there are several other things that the companions asked the Prophet ﷺ about Yawm al-Qiyamah that give us a good idea of what was going on. So Prophet ﷺ says, "Min husiba udhib." Whoever is what? Whoever is held to account will be punished. And so Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, but wait a minute. Allah said. Now, this is something else that's very good for us to realize. And that is, and not that it's anything that we doubt, but something that should increase us in our certainty that they viewed the Quran as the primary source of evidence. Okay? And when I say the primary source, I don't mean in contradiction to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but what I'm saying is that there wasn't, you don't put your aql over the text. We don't put our intellects over the text. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. She said, wait, Allah said those who were given their books in their right hands, then they will have an easy reckoning. For so for you hasabu hisab and yasira. The Prophet ﷺ said, inna dhaki al-ard. That is the display, the showing, the report, which I'll talk about in a minute, what that means. Okay? He said, "Man nuqisha al-hisab 'udhib." The one whose account is debated will be punished. Okay, what's that mean? That means that there's two types of accounts. There's the one which is a report. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings his servant near. As we'll cover now, we'll go over the hadith, inshallah. He brings his servant near. And yasturuhu. So he puts a barrier between him and the rest of the creation. And he says, you did such and such on such and such a day. And you did this on that time. You did this and you did that. Yukarriruhu. Yani, he's making the servant affirm. Yes, I did that. I did that. And I did that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I covered you in the dunya and I've forgiven you today. And so that's the hisab al-yasir. And it is no arguing, there's no back and forth. Covered you in the dunya and you go. Now you're going to have to admit to what happened. But that's the mercy of Arhamur Rahimin, who has saved his mercy 99% of it for the hereafter. The one part that we have in this dunya is the part that a mother, has mercy on her child and so forth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has saved the lion's share, if you will, of his mercy for the hereafter. And so he's merciful to his believing servants. But he'll give them the report. This is al-ard. Al-ard is the display. Like you have a ma'rad, which is a showroom. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing you what you've done and giving you that report. This is what you did. And the servant says, yes. And then there are those who will they want to argue. They want to argue their case. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just. Subhanallah. You want to argue? Okay. But not with your mouth. الْيَوْمَ نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْهَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. On this day, we're going to cover their mouths. نَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ. And their hands will talk, and their feet will witness what they used to do. And so their hands will say, yes, I wrote such and such. I texted such and such. Their feet will say, yes, I walked to this place and I went into that place. And then as it comes in the narrations, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow the tongue to speak, and the tongue will curse the hands and the feet and say, I was just trying to save y'all from the fire. And every part of a person's body will begin to witness, bear witness against them. And the earth itself will be a witness against the person. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, it, that is the earth, will talk about what happened upon it. It will spread the news. This is what happened on such and such a day. Yeah, this, that. And so, this person, la ilaha illallah, this person who thought that they were going to be able to argue their case, they have no case. The angels will bear witness against them, and they are, other people will bear witness against them, and they themselves will bear witness against themselves. And at this point, and if you can think about, you think about the fact that, and let's just understand it from a worldly perspective. If a person is brought to court, he knows he's a criminal, but he thinks he's slick. Maybe even has a great lawyer. And he says, I got this, just let me do the talking. And he talks, sounds real good. But the fact of the matter is, the case against him, there's all types of evidence. Not only are there witnesses, but there's receipts, there's all types of surveillance, footage from every angle. And so you know what the criminal says at the end? What can he say? You got me. You got me. And in fact, at this point, the criminal has to respect. They say, man, look, I tried everything I could, but you got me. And if we look at this, SubhanAllah, consider this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Yawma tujaza kullu nafsin bima kasabat. On this day, every soul will be held to account for what it has earned. It will be repaid and rewarded for what it has earned. La dhulma al-yawm. There is no injustice today. Inna Allaha sari'ul hisab. Indeed, Allah is swift in hisab. And what do we say the hisab was? In counting and separating those deeds. In the reckoning, Allah is swift. And the scholars of tafsir say so swift that that portion, that only takes like the time from Fajr till Dhuhr to do all of the creation, which we'll talk about next week, inshallah. Wow. And we'll talk about some of the evidence that is indicative of that. But I want us to look at this point. La dhulma al-yawm. There's no injustice today. To the point that even those disbelievers who are going to hell, and those wrongdoers from amongst the Muslims who will be purified in hell, they will begin to praise Allah. وَقُضِيَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِالْحَقِّ. And the judgment will be established between them with truth. وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And it will be said. It will be said. Not they will say, it will be said, because the entire creation will say, even the non-believers, وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. All praise is to Allah, Lord of the worlds. La ilaha illallah. Look at that. And why will they praise Allah? Because He is just. Because there was no injustice that happened to them. They tried. They shot their whole load. And all of the proof was established against them, and they could do nothing but praise Allah for sending them to the fire, which is deep. I mean, they're not praising Him for sending them to the fire. They're praising Him for establishing justice. قِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. طيب. So, if we go back and we look at this hadith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said a believer will be brought to his Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala or عز وجل حتى يضع عليه كنفه فيكرره بذنوبه till and this hadith is either in Bukhari or Muslim, I don't remember right now, but it will be said to him, يكرره بذنوبه. نعم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put this al-kanafa, which is a sitr, yani the barrier between him and the creation, like a shield, okay, or a veil, and he will make him acknowledge his sins, and he will say hal ta'rif, yani his sins, do you know about this, do you know about this, fayaqulu ay rabbi a'rif, and he will say, yeah, yes, my Lord, yeah, I know I did that. قال فإني قد سترتها عليك في الدنيا وإني أغفرها لك اليوم. I have covered you in the dunya. I concealed that for you in the dunya, and I forgive you for it today. فيعطى صحيفة حسناته, and he will be given his book of good deeds, and that is going to be what is weighed with him, with the believer himself, and his deeds and his book. All three are going to be weighed, which we'll have to talk about the next week, inshallah. وَأَمَّا الْكُفَّارُ وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ فَيُنَادَى بِهِمْ عَلَىٰ رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ. As for the disbelievers and the hypocrites, then they will be called in front of all of the creation, and it will be said, those are the ones who lied on Allah. The last thing we'll cover today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, is in preparation. I think we'll push that back, inshallah, because there are some things that, yeah, we'll push it back, because we want to talk about what are the things that we know we're going to be asked about everything, right? But that a person is, let's put it like this, that we're liable for everything that we do. that there is nothing that we couldn't be questioned about, and that we're responsible for our actions and our statements and our beliefs. But there are some things that are more important than others that we need to give a lot of attention to, and that's inshallah where we will begin in class 5, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. So next week we'll start there, and we'll cover the mizan, which is not a very long section, and then we'll move into al-hawd, which is the pond of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and we'll talk about the sirat, which is the bridge over the hellfire, and we'll talk about al-qantara, which is after the bridge but before the Jannah, before paradise itself, on the outskirts of paradise, the arch, as some translated. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll cover that next week. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.